You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's personal finance time on a Monday. We're taking a look at the importance of a will. It is Wills Month this month. So we're going to take a look at this and try and see why we should have one in place. I'm joined on the line by Rehana Kasim, who is the fiduciary specialist at PPS, that's the Professional Provident Society, to take a look at this and try and see if we can make sense of it. Good evening, Rehana. Thanks so much for taking the time. Why do I need to have a will in place?
Hi, good evening, Jimmy. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show and giving us the opportunity to obviously, share some knowledge with you guys. And the question is, why is the will important? It's important because it ensures that your assets are distributed, according to your wishes when you pass away. Because if there is no will in place, then it might be that, the wishes that you or the intentions that you have will not align, it will not be executed. And the will also obviously gives you the opportunity to appoint an executor of your choice. You can name your guardian for your minor children, and then you can obviously make specific bequests, right? So it gives you that opportunity to sort of show your loved ones that you leave behind one day, that you, that continuous care and support for their welfare after you are gone.
Rehana, when I'm looking to set up a will, is there a particular time to do it? Is it one of those things that is best done sooner rather than later? And how do I go about doing it?
Yeah, I mean, a will, people will ask you, when is a good time? Like you said, when is a good time to set up that will? There is not really a good time or the best time, because it's the time when you find yourself in your circumstances. Right? Where do you find yourself in your circumstances? What is your family dynamic? What is it that you have acquired so far? And what would you like to leave to your loved ones? The step for obviously setting up the will, or the first step that someone will take to make sure that will is drafted correctly, is to gather all the necessary information that will compile this document. You will list your assets. You will look at what type of assets you have. Is it a bank account? Is it car? Is it a car? Is it a house? My personal possessions. And when I say that, it can be that the person that's sitting, that's now drafting the will, might only have money in the bank and maybe some personal items, but he wants to ensure that those two, the money in the bank and the personal items, go to the people that he would love them to go to, right? So it can happen at any time in your life, basically. However, for a person to draft a will, you need to be 16 and older. So we look at, at that age, basically. At any point in time when you feel there is this specific need in your life, to sit down, look at your assets, making sure who are your beneficiaries, and then make those bequests. That is the time that you will do it.
Rehana, when we look at the will process and the drafting of the will, what do I need to put in the will to ensure that my wishes are respected and executed upon in the manner that I wanted them to be?
Yeah, so what will you put in that will to make sure? Like I said, firstly, you have to identify your assets. What is it that I have, right? So, and who are my beneficiaries? Who are the heirs that I would want to inherit from me the day that I'm no longer there? So the process is, look at your list of assets, look at your beneficiaries or your heirs, and then put it down on a piece of paper. But we always advise to do that process should be done with expert guidance and support. Everyone can, download a template from the internet, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those lines that you put on that piece of paper will be executable. So the process is not just looking at your assets, but also looking at liabilities and costs, and making sure that when I bequeath my estate, that there's actually sufficient liquidity as well to cover the cost, and then the residue or the remaining of my assets will then be paid out as per the wishes in the will.
Rihanna, you mentioned something important around making sure that the correct people are put in place to execute on the will or to help you draft the will so that it does remain legally binding. We've seen a couple of concerns from people that have previously had wills drafted or wills drafted by third parties, and now you have problems claiming or now you have problems executing on that will because you need to pay for fees and all sorts of things around that. How do we navigate that? How do we ensure that the documents and the processes that we have to follow, we know as the people drafting those documents what our rights are, what our beneficiaries' rights are, and so that people actually don't struggle in the event that they need to execute the will?
Yeah, I know, definitely, Jimmy, and that is why it's important to work with a professional service, professional people that can give you that expert guidance, like PPS Fiduciary Services, or then your attorney, or then your financial advisor, to make sure that what you put inside the will, you know, will give you peace of mind. So the benefits of working with a professional service will make sure that the professionals that will navigate you through this complex legal and financial considerations, they have that expertise, right? They can guide you. They can give you tailored advice. They can look at your specific family dynamic, they can look at your specific circumstances and then provide that ongoing support when it's needed to update and review your will as your life circumstances change. And also what a professional service will also help you with is to store that original will, right? Because it's important that when you pass away, that when we report the estate at the master's office, the master still requires the original copy of that signed will. So that is why safe storage, secure storage options should also be part of that service that your trusted provider will provide you with.
Rihanna, you mentioned something about having the will kept up to date. Why do I need to have that in place? Why can I not just draft a will once, put it away safely, as you mentioned, and just never look at it? Does having an outdated will create a problem?
Yeah, definitely. An updated will result in, firstly, your wishes not being what you are wanting it intend to be, right? It can also lead to, if there is no updated will or the will is not, or there is no will in place, that intestate succession will then be applied to your estate. And what does intestate succession mean? It means that there's a piece of legislation, the Intestate Succession Act, stipulates and regulates actually who are the people that will inherit. So, the executor or the person that will administer your estate cannot, there's no leeway. He needs to follow the rules and the regulations in the Intestate Succession Act. And also, by not having an updated will in place, it can also lead to family disputes, right? An outdated or unclear will can lead to confusion, disputes among family members, and even, you know, it can lead to costly legal battles. And the most important thing is it can lead to delays in the estate administration, because it might be that no executor was appointed in the will, and therefore the loved ones that you leave behind will now have to, among themselves, nominate an executor and then find someone to actually administer this estate.
Rihanna, you mentioned something about keeping wills safe. Are there things I can do if we've got a family will or we're dealing with a case in the family and the original document has been lost? Is there a way we can verify the authenticity of a will? In some cases, the document might not be lost, or we might have two different versions of the will. How do we authenticate which one to execute on?
Yeah, so that's very important, Jimmy. I mean, that is where the master's office and the court will then obviously make that decision. So say for argument's sake, the client passes away, the deceased person has left a will behind, but the example that you use, there's two copies that surfaced after his death. Then it will then be the court that will have to decide, right? It will be a court application to decide which one of those two is actually the latest one and the valid one. So that is why it's important to make sure that once the will is signed, that it is actually stored in a secure location, whether it's a safe, whether it's with a trusted service provider, and that trusted service provider actually has access to that, because it's not a process. The master's office, once paper arguments that there is a situation where two wills surface after the person has passed away, the master's office will then have to obviously make a decision in terms of which one of the two is valid, but that normally ends up in a court case. The court will have to decide based on the evidence presented at in court as to which one will then be the valid will that gives effect to the intentions of the deceased person. The master's office won't necessarily accept, or by default accept, a copy of that original signed will, and that is why it's important that safe storage ensures that your will is accessible when it's required, and it reduces the risk of misplacement and that it can be contested after death.
The real question here is, what are you willing to do to protect your family and to ensure that your loved ones are looked after you are gone? We'll leave it at that, Rehana. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Rehana Kasim, who is the fiduciary specialist at PPS, joining me to take a look at having a will in place.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.